You know, no matter how many we have here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday, we look to the Lord to bless us with His Word. I want, my heart's desire is that this be a place where God's Word and the pure gospel is going to be preached. So I'd like to look into His Word today. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where I've been thinking through the night and last evening, considering these verses. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I want to look at these verses here through 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now he starts out here, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. It made me think of some of the other things, some of the things that Jesus said about God's Word, and also a verse in the Psalms. But there are, as I look into God's Word, I see three ways, working separately and yet working together, that do the process of making us holy. You say, well, it's Jesus' blood. Yes, Jesus' blood washes and cleanses away our sin. It purges our conscience. It was given so that we might be forgiven. He took the penalty so that and gave His life so that our life would be spared. It cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I believe that's 1 John 1 and 9, isn't it, where it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light, verse 7, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we have the blood as a cleansing. But this says you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Jesus also, John chapter 15, is a place where He said something like that too. Let's read that. John 15 and verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. In this chapter, He's not talking necessarily about cleansing as in scrubbing or washing. In this chapter, He's talking about pruning a tree, cleaning it up. When we finally get to go out in our yard out there where we're living, I speak sometimes of, I want to clean this up. In other words, I want to take branches and weeds and cut them off and purge. That would be a way of purging the forest out there, or the yard. He said, you're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Another place in John 17, He was praying, and He prayed to His Father to sanctify us. And how was it that He said it? John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now I want to look to God today, and my question has been to the Lord, Lord, how is it that you sanctify or make us holy through your truth? How are we clean through the word that you speak to us? How are our souls purified by obeying the truth? There's another scripture in Psalms 119. You may have learned this in your Bible memory, because I remember learning this. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's he going to do that? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So here we have a question. How is a young man going to cleanse his way? The way that he walks, his behavior, his actions. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus said, Father, make them holy through your word. Your word is truth. Make them holy through your truth. Your word is truth. Another scripture now. Ephesians. When he speaks about the church, his bride, what he did to make her his bride. What was it that he did? Ephesians chapter 5. Speaking to husbands in verse 25, he said, Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, and this word means make holy, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So here he's speaking of the word as a spiritual water. And this word, I believe, it points back to in the old tabernacle and in Solomon's temple, they had a big pool-like thing, a big bowl, huge thing. I think in Solomon's temple it was like, oh, a great big pool that they've made and had water in it, and they would use that water to cleanse things in the temple, and that was called the laver. And whenever you read this here in the New Testament, it's referring back to the laver. He washes us with his word. Now, how does this happen? And he talks about also, Lord, help me to connect this and to help you to feel like it's connected when you hear it, that you won't be going, huh? Back where we started in 1 Peter, he talks about purifying your souls. And then in verse 23, he talks about being born again by the word of God. Now, whenever I read that, you know what I thought of? I thought of where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he talked about being born again. And he said, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I'm thinking, Lord, how does all this connect? He talks here about purifying us by the word of God. Now he's talking about being born again, not by a corruptible seed, but by an incorruptible, which is the word of God. We are born of the Spirit and we're born of water. I really believe that instead of saying we're born because you were baptized, when we connect that with Ephesians chapter where he says the washing of water by the word, and we connect it with these other scriptures that say with his word we're made holy and we're made pure. And there he says, here he says the word is what makes us born again. And Jesus said that you're born by through water and the Spirit. I really believe this connects together like a puzzle. We're born of the Word and the Spirit. The water that he talks about there in John 3, I believe that's talking about his Word. Now, how are you born again? Through the Word of God. If you just take this and you sit on it, are you born again? No. You take this and you hold it. Are you born again? You take this and you read it. Are you born again? How is it that this word purifies you and makes you born again? Regenerates you. another scripture, look at this. This connects the two thoughts again. Titus chapter 3. And verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now that connects the new birth and the washing. That connects being born again with a water. I believe this word washing is that same word again. It means it's pointing to the laver. The washing of water by the word, he says in Ephesians. Now this is called the washing of regeneration. And Jesus connected the two in the new birth, and so did Peter. So how are we regenerated, or that means born again? How are you born again, and how are you cleansed by the word of God? We, like I said, you're just reading it. What is the, what's the, how do you say it in chemistry? Yeah, but it's something that causes the reaction. Catalyst. What's the catalyst here? What brings the two together? God's word and my heart. Now let's look at this in Romans, because we can find the answer here. Romans chapter 10. In verse 8 it says, but what saith it? Or what says the righteousness which comes by faith? How is it described? And he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What's the catalyst to bring God's word and my heart together to make the new birth and the cleansing? Believe. That's right. When I believe, and I begin to think of, Lord, what is it that we need to believe about your word that does this marvelous change that regenerates us and causes us to be born of the Spirit and born of your word and cleansed, like somebody who just took a good bath and washed up, and somebody comes up and says, well, you clean up real nice. Well, yeah, that's what a good bath does. What does God's word do for us? It cleanses us mind, body, heart, lifestyle, thoughts. And what is it that does it? It's when we believe it. Now, what do we need to believe about God's word? Well, if you just start way at the beginning, for a person must believe the word of God when it says that something is wrong or right. How important is that? How important is it that I believe when God's word says, thou shalt not lie, or thou shalt not steal, and that word teaches me that it's wrong? I've got to believe that word. You know, I believe that's where a big breakdown of faith is today. Is that human thinking and teaching has just obliterated right and wrong. If we can't believe God's word about what's right and wrong, how are we ever going to say, forgive me for my sin? If we don't believe it's sin, we've not been convicted that what I'm doing is wrong. So we need to believe and be convinced of God's word about sin. And also about the consequences of sin. Well, because there are some people that say, yeah, I know that what I'm doing, I don't think God will want me to do it, but what's going to happen to me? I did it. I remember reading about this woman that became a very famous woman in radio and TV evangelistics. But she was taught very strictly, kind of like we've been taught. And she decided one day she was going to go do one of those things that they, she said, in my church, they said, if you do this, you'll go to hell. And she said, I went and did it, and I didn't die. I didn't have God's judgments come down on me. And she said, what's more, I liked it. It made me feel good. And so she did that the rest of her life because she didn't believe. Now, granted, I think that the way that she was taught about it probably was not the wisest way. I believe they should have instructed her that you go down this way and this lifestyle of it goes against the principles of God's word. And if you continue in that, you will be lost. But just to tell your child you do this and you'll go to hell, that's not a good way to start the whole thing. So she grew to an unbelief in that part of God's word. She didn't believe that it was wrong. And that's the way many people are today. They're not believing in the very first things, and that is that something is right or wrong. They just go on their ways, and they're not feeling bad about it, or maybe they do feel bad, but they don't know why. And so there's no grounds there for repentance because they're not aware of any need and any sin. So we need to believe God's word when it comes to what he says is right or wrong, sinful or righteous. We need to believe his word. He goes on down here in verse, let's just continue from verse 10. For with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now this confession, I really believe at this part of these verses, it's not talking about confessing your sins, but it says confessing the Lord Jesus. What do we need to believe about Jesus that's going to cleanse us from sin? Well, when we've got it settled that I'm a sinner, yes, I've been doing wrong. These things are wrong. God's word convicts me. I believe God's word. I believe the judgments are coming upon me for this. Then I'm in need to confess something. I need to confess that Jesus is the only Savior. And again, here's where that belief right there is being assaulted in today's world. People think there's other things that can save you. You can save you. You just quit thinking that way and you start thinking positively about yourself and you quit being so depressed. You know, there's a lot of gospel out there that's not a true gospel. We're going to look at this in just a minute. What is the gospel? But people out there are going to something else to save them. What is it that we need to confess here? The Lord Jesus. The confession, he is the Lord. And he is my only Savior. And I confess him as my Lord and Savior. That means I come to him for salvation. I trust in him for salvation. He's the only one who can save me. You know, the woman who came to Jesus at the Pharisee's house, what was she confessing? I don't know if her mouth did, if her mouth moved or not, but she was confessing something when she wept at Jesus' feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head and anointed his feet. What was she confessing? She was confessing that he was the Savior. She was demonstrating faith in him. She was begging for forgiveness and repenting of her sin. In that action, she confessed it. This says with your mouth, but I believe with everything she had, she confessed, this is the forgiver of sins. He's the one I need. And back then, and the way that they were telling their people was, this man can't forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. So you know what she was believing and what she was saying? This man is God. He is God sent to earth. He is God's son. He's the Messiah. That's what she was confessing by her tears and her contrition. And that's what brings a person into salvation, is that confessing, you are my Savior, I come to you, I beg you for forgiveness. That And then you believe. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Believe that he's a living Savior, that he comes to save you now, that he ever lives to make intercession for you. So that's another thing that we need to believe. We need to believe in what Christ can do for us. We need to believe his promises. What are some of the promises? I thought of this one, Isaiah 55, where it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." And what? "And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." That's what we need to confess too. We need to confess, "Lord, you are my Savior, and I believe that you will do what you have promised. I'm seeking you, and you said you would abundantly pardon." I love this word in the gospel, and I point you to it just now. Let me find it, because it's at the end of one of the gospel books, and I can't remember which one. Luke chapter 24, last book of Luke, and verse 47. This is what Jesus, he was explaining this. Let's look at 46, because this talks about the importance of believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is what Jesus did. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." Now, when you read that, that lets us know what the gospel is. In other places it said, "Go preach the gospel to every creature." Here he says two things: repentance and remission of sins. What does the word repent mean? It means to, well, there's several things. Acknowledge your sin, be sorry for your sin, and then turn away from your sin. Really, the word repent means to make an about face. It means to stop. It means to turn around and go the other way. That's part of the gospel. We must believe that word of the gospel, that he wants me to repent and turn away from my sin. And then this next word. Do you know what this next word means? It means forgiveness, remission. It means forgiveness. It means pardon. It means complete deliverance. I love thinking about what is the gospel? What is it that we need to believe? We need to believe what he can do for us. And that is, when I come and believe his promises that he will abundantly pardon, that he will completely deliver, when I believe it, that's when it works in my life. But if you come to him and you have doubts about it, "I don't know what he can do for me. I don't think it can. I don't think there's going to be any change. I don't think there's. I've tried this." You know what? We need to believe the gospel. Oh, that makes me think of what Jesus said. Let's find that. I believe it's Mark. Chapter 1. Verse 14. "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Now what was Jesus preaching? "And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Believe the good news. What is the good news? That if you seek him and turn away from your sin, he'll forgive you and abundantly pardon, and he'll completely deliver you. Another part of the gospel was healing for the body. It was that Christ came to save your sins, to command Satan to be cast out of anyone that had Satan in him. That's what the kingdom of God was. Remember whenever one time he came to a man and he cast the devil out of him, and he said, "The kingdom of God has come unto you." When we hear the gospel, That's what it means. It means complete salvation. The good news of God's salvation to you. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, let's go back now to 1 Peter. And with all of this that I've just gone around and looked at in the scriptures, now look at this. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, something that does not fade away. God's word of salvation, the gospel message. Do you know what? One thing in the scriptures, it's called the everlasting gospel. It'll never fade. It is God's promises. It's his judgments. It's his word, the way that he wants us to live, his plan for us to have peace with him, complete pardon and deliverance. It is what, when we believe it, it's a living word. It goes down in us. You know what a plant does whenever a seed drops into the ground and it's germinated? It's alive. It begins, there's power in a seed. That's God's word. He said, you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. It enters into you. It begins to grow. It begins to burst out with life, new life. We're born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. So that is what cleanses. That is what saves. That is what washes us. That is what regenerates us in the new birth of water and the Spirit. Now, I want you to look at 1 John chapter 5. Verse 8, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. What do these all do in us? The Spirit does a work of purification in us, and the water does, which is the Word, and the blood does. And it says these three agree in one. They agree in making us pure. They agree in that sin's got to go. They agree in that we're now been made holy and sanctified by these things. These three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And now I believe by God's word, we can see the meaning of that word water. It is the purification that we receive by obeying God's word. So we need to believe this morning. Believe the need of salvation and the sinfulness of the human heart. And believe that he is the Savior, that he came to do the work. Believe in what he can do for us, that he will make us a new creature. We need to believe his promises, his provisions that he's made for us. All of these things. Now, there's one scripture that keeps coming to my mind. It's in Isaiah. Let me find it, and I want to finish up with that. Seems like it's 50-something. Let's see if I can find it here. Yes. And it's the last part of Isaiah 55. For as the rain, verse 10, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. There's also another scripture about that word. Let me see if I can find it here. Well, I know one is in Hebrews about the Word of God doing that. That's like a watering a garden. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. That's not quite what the one I wanted. I want the one that says something about a garden. And it talks about causing the things in the garden to spring forth. Let me see if I can find that here. It's speaking about God's word as well. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to be finding it. Well, amen. I hope this morning that you will be able to understand maybe afresh and anew the plan of salvation and just what it means to believe and what that does in the heart, the great work that it does in the heart, the change that's made because I take God's word and I believe it, and it cleanses my life. Obedience, as we obey God's word and bring it, carry it out in our lives, as it says to love, as it says to walk in truth, as it says to put away the evil things out of our life. As we do that, it works a great cleansing in our lives. Amen. Pray for me.